Good to see y'all this morning. We are kicking off a new series for about 10 weeks. We'll be doing that, and I have a couple of you men that are going to be teaching. I have your handout here, but nevertheless, we're going to be looking at leadership in the life of David. Leadership lessons in the life of David, and this, if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll get there here in just a moment, but it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16 is where we are. Amen. First Samuel 16. Before I begin the lesson, I just got a quote here. Having my Bible, I thought it's just a great reminder for us every day, really, every day. It's made by Albert Barnes, who wrote a great commentary in the New Testament, and was a pastor, I believe, in New York, but back in, I believe, the early 1900s. He said this: "It is the duty of the people of God to look at the bright side of things, to think of the past mercies of God, to survey the blessings which surround us still, to look to the future in this world and the next with hope, and to come to God and cast the burden on Him." Isn't that good? That's just the perspective of the Christian life, really the vision and the view of the Christian life. So just want to encourage you men this morning that's the perspective God wants us to have and to be able to live out for His glory. But as I said before, the Lord laid this series on my heart just several months ago, and I just felt like this is what the Lord was ordering for us for just a little short season. And Joanna's gonna be teaching the ladies there in the fellowship hall. But you know, we're all leaders. God is using us in leadership capacities in our home, in our workplace, and most certainly right here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And one thing as leaders, we're always growing, in understanding how to be a good leader. We never stop learning to be leaders. Amen? We never stop. We are always learning to be leaders. Jesus was always teaching the disciples about what it means to lead and what it means to have influence and encouragement and to promote the kingdom of God. And so that's exactly what we are desiring to do as we look at David even this morning. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in to reading chapter 16, just the first, we'll probably get through 13 verses there. Let's pray. Father, my heart is filled with gratitude towards You this morning. Lord, I am so thankful for the presence of God in this place. I'm thankful for the armor of God that we can don and we must don every single day, that we must take up, Lord, what You have given us and claim it by the authority of Jesus Christ. And so we do recognize our position, Lord, in Christ, seated in the heavenly places. Lord, who our Lord is above all principalities and powers. So we do thank You for the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanses us from sin. We're thankful for victory in Him. Would You bless today in our lesson, and bless Joanna and the ladies and the children as they learn. And Father, even today, this morning and tonight, we're just asking for a great move of Your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see y'all again. And if you hadn't yet, look to the person behind you or beside you and say, "It's good to see you this morning." Amen. Amen. That's right. Good to see you. Glad you're here. And I'm sure guys will be coming in little by little. But let's begin reading here, chapter 16. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided, notice this, me a king among his sons. We're going to work through this passage. I'll hold off reading through the whole thing for sake of time. We'll just work through it little by little. But I believe most of you know the context here. The children of Israel wanted a king badly. But they wanted a king that they thought would be best instead of depending on the Lord and looking to Him what God would think best. Men, there's one thing we need to learn as leaders. Let's always go to the Lord first. Go to the Lord first and say, Lord, is this what you desire? Is this what you have chosen? Is this what you're looking for? Is this what you are seeking to do? But they didn't do that. But they paid the price. So you know, most of you, I believe, know what happened. They chose Saul. And God did anoint Saul. He gave them their desires, and he began to rule and started off at somewhat of a good note, but eventually it was a downward spiral. He was a fleshly man, and eventually it got to the point where he rebelled against God. He did exactly what God told him not to do. He was not to spare any of the city. The particular city that you will read about in the previous chapter, and basically did not follow the Lord's commands wholly and completely. And so that's where we find out back in the earlier chapter where he took that kingdom from him. And we'll see some of that as we understand when this all happened. So when he lost his position to be the king, it was time to choose someone else. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, how David was chosen for a divine assignment. Men, I believe you know this, but each of you have been chosen for a divine assignment. And I pray and hope that each of us will follow the Lord completely, wholeheartedly, and the assignment that He has given us. It varies. Some of us have the same assignments, such as a father or perhaps, you know, husband, but even as a son, there's different roles that we have, but God has given each of us a divine assignment. And so what we have here is the Lord spoke unto Samuel and said, all right, I've turned from Saul. He doesn't have the kingdom anymore. And Samuel doesn't have anything to do with Saul anymore. They'll have one more encounter, but there's really no relationship there anymore. God has turned from that man. He had an ungodly heart, and of course you'll see it through the life of David. He had a wicked heart. He wanted to ruin David. He wanted to kill David several times. And David, his response, as some of the men will teach, wow, the way David responded was nothing more than just God's truly anointing upon his life. But now he's saying, Samuel, I want you to go, and I want you to go to a little village. I've rejected Saul. I want you to, basically, I could say, paraphrase this, stop being so consumed with the loss of Saul. Now I'll say this too, and Wes and I were just talking about this a minute ago, and we talked about it before as men. I preached on it not long ago. Sometimes we can get into a rut where we are just feeling a life of shame and guilt. And maybe Samuel was just feeling that way. He's just feeling, man, I thought Saul was going to do it. We anointed him, and man, I'm just a failure. And God's saying, look, stop mourning. And pick up your horn with oil, and I got something for you to do. And that's where we see here, fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee, now this is interesting, to Jesse. As we've said, the Bethlehemite, they're going to Bethlehem. And he says, I have provided me a king among his sons. And so here we have Samuel's going to obey. So God's provided. God always provides. God's doing the choosing because He says, I'm going to provide me a king. Well, I let the children of Israel decide, and now I'm going to decide, and I'm going to choose him among Jesse's sons. And then verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. How many of you, what do you hear in that verse right there? Yep, fear. Excuse. Oh God, are you sure? You sure you know what you're doing? You ever feel that way? God, you sure you know what you're doing right here? We do that sometimes, don't we? Samuel was a godly man. He was a spirit-filled man. He was a man of like passions. He said, I don't know if I can do this. If Saul hears it, he's going to kill me. And I love the Lord's response. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, this is significance. Was God telling Samuel to lie to Saul? Was he seeking to trip him up in any way? Anybody think that? No, he wasn't telling him to lie. He was telling him something that would do, that would keep the focus where it needs to be, and that's worship. That's where the focus as leaders are, men. When we're going forward, our focus should always be the worship of Almighty God. And so, yes, God's going to use it to select a king, but the primary reason for him going was the first of all, he's going to lead in worship. Grab you a sacrifice. He says, I'm going to lead you. And he says, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Which, by the way, it's going to be interesting. This was not a sin offering. And the reason we know it's not a sin offering is because the brothers, the sons of Jesse, were invited. And the sin offering was never to be eaten. Okay? The sin offering was discarded. But the peace offering, the burnt offering, the consecration offering, the fellowship offering, those offerings were to be shared for the food after presenting it to the Lord. And so this is a sacrifice where it's going to include some fellowship and some encouragement. And so he goes there, and let's look at verse 3. And call Jesse, this is David's daddy, call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Praise the Lord. Let's stop right there. Leaders, brothers, God's always going to tell us what to do. We can trust Him. The next step. What was the fact that, what did Brother Gibbs say about the definition of wisdom? What was it? Godly wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. And God's always going to give us that, men, when we ask for it. He's not going to withhold that. Lord, I'm going to trust you to tell me what to do and when to do it. He'll show you. And that's what he's telling him here. And he says, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. I love how God keeps giving emphasis that he's the one that's doing the choosing. That's important. All right. Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. There's obedience. He did it. And came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Now, do you find that question interesting? Why do you think he was scared? Why do you think these people were scared when Samuel came into town? Anybody want to just make some guesses? Maybe they had a guilty conscience, true. Maybe there were some things in their life that weren't right. Yeah, anything else? Anybody else? Yeah, Timothy? Good. Yeah, they knew that there was a great confrontation there, and Saul had lost the kingdom. So, boy, oh my, Samuel's here. What's going on? Somebody else say something. Yeah. That's right, brother. This may not be a good thing. Samuel, the man. very authoritative individual, the man of God here is shown up in this little town of Bethlehem. And here he comes. I'll tell you another reason that all those were correct. Another reason was they probably were aware of what took place just a few verses prior. Notice in chapter 15, verse 33. He says, "And Samuel said, as the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal." This is not too far from Bethlehem. And as Brother Steve may have mentioned, and some of you others, are we going to be chopped up too? Are we in trouble? What have we done? There was a fear among them. There was a judgment that was done just previously. And so they had in question in their mind here. And they were scared. And they asked the question, "Comest thou peaceably?" And boy, they had a sigh of relief when he said in verse 5, and he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves." And that's another word of saying, get right with God. "And come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. All right, so now we have the setting. We have the setting where God is setting He is setting this up. The scene is before us. The Lord is about to choose His leader for Israel, and it's not done in a conventional way. And that's the whole theme of this lesson, is that we got to understand God's ways are not always our ways. We have to trust the Lord, and notice what takes place now. It says here that when they got there, they sanctified them. And here we are in verse 6 again. "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab." Now, this was the oldest son. And it says here, "and said," notice what Samuel says, "surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Right or wrong? Wrong. Samuel was a wise man. He was a spirit-filled man. The hand of God was on him, but he got it wrong at the very first one. Here comes Eliab, handsome man, big, strong, you know, just eldest son. He had all the credentials, if you will, of being a great leader, up on the front of the battle line, and being a great general, perhaps. He had all the credentials there, and Samuel saw him. He said, "Ooh, there he is. There he is. Got him on the first one." and the Lord's going to remind him, the Lord, notice what he said to Samuel in verse 7. "The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Let's say that last phrase of verse 7 together. "But the Lord..." That's it. God's looking at our heart, man. That's what He's after. He's after your heart. He's after my heart. And He's after our hearts in such a way where He wants our hearts to be after His heart. Because that's what we're going to see here in just a moment. David was chosen because he was a man after God's own heart. He was after God's heart. I read one guy said this, and it's true. Eliab, the eldest son, he looked the part, but he did not have the heart. He looked the part, but he did not have the heart. And I believe as leaders, we got to understand the outward abilities and characteristics, looks, abilities, personality, all those things God can use. But listen, what God must have, and as the primary platform for effectiveness and leadership, God's got to have our hearts. And not just half of our hearts, but our whole heart. God, you got my heart. But not Eliam. He said, he's not it. You're looking on the outward. So Samuel, he's going to go through each of the brothers. There's eight total, okay? So David will be the eighth one they take a look at. But notice in verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab, this is the second brother, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. All right? Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And of course, his daddy's, you can only imagine what Jesse's going through in his mind after these sons of his are being rejected. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. So what's going through Jesse's mind at this time, men? He's panicking a little bit. Yeah, I would say so. Anybody else got any mind? All right, listen, his eldest son, who he thought was a true winner, he thought he would get it. Passing by and all of them. What's going through Jesse's mind right now?
Making a mistake. He went to the wrong house.
Yeah, went to the wrong house. He's at the wrong place. What's obvious that's not coming to Jesse's mind on his own volition? Yeah. David. That's not being offered for a while. Samuel's going to have to get that out of him. And we're going to see that here because we see that none of these sons were God's choice. It was seven of his sons there that were presented and none which are God's choice. So let's see verse 11. It says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? In other words, is this all your boys, Jesse? And he said, well, I mean, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And you know, you can almost hear it in there. I don't want to read too much in the Word of God, but it's almost like Daddy Jesse here is saying, surely you don't need him to come. Yeah, and Samuel's like, yeah, go get him. Bring him on. It remaineth yet the youngest. In fact, it's interesting that he didn't even use David's name. The other sons' names were mentioned, but he's just talking about, well, that boy, that youngest boy of mine out there with the sheep. He remaineth. And, notice what Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, and we will not sit down till he come hither. So they're not going to sit down and enjoy the sacrifice and worship until that young man gets there on the scene. So verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was Rudy and with all of beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And notice what the Lord said. Could you say those next three words with me? Arise, anoint him. One more time. This is he. There you go. This is who God is looking for. This is the man of God that the Lord had chosen himself. Now, the description you have here is interesting. Again, Samuel knew the Lord would provide. And by the way, don't miss that. Samuel, although he was a man of like passions and he struggled with believing God at times too and struggled, man, how's this going to work out? He had enough sense to after all the boys did not approve, the seven of them, he didn't stop there. He said, are you sure they're not any more? He had enough sense in him that God was going to provide. Leaders, if there's one thing that we need to always set the example for, to our family, to our church, to our friends, to the people we are that are around us, God will always provide. God will make a way. Leaders have to communicate that. We have to understand that God will honor His Word. God will keep His Word. And Samuel believed that. And he says, is there at least, do you have another? And of course they bring David, and the description here, and some of this old English, basically describes him as a nice looking boy. Now, he was out in the pasture. God was preparing David in the pasture. He was looking after the sheep of his daddy's flock because God was preparing him to be the leader and shepherd of God's flock. And men, God has each of us in some sort of pasture right now. And even you young men, I'm so glad our young men from the youth group can join us in here, because you also have a pasture that God has you in, that you're training right now. You're fulfilling responsibilities, whether it's an assignment or whether it's a responsibility that's been entrusted to you, whatever the case may be. And we, of course, we know that all grows as we get older, our responsibility and things of that nature. But nevertheless, everybody in this room is in some kind of pasture. And God's preparing us for the next step, for the next moment of leadership. You're always being prepared for the next assignment. Can you remember that? You're always being prepared for the next assignment. God's doing a deep work in your life. And sometimes it's very uncomfortable. Sometimes you're going to be put in pastures. I'm sure David was out there as a young man. By the way, Josephus, who was a governor there in one of the Galilean towns, and a historian wrote that he believes that David was as young as 10 years old at this time. Other scholars give him an age up to 15. So even if we were to say from 10 to 15 years old, young man, I want you to take that challenge. God is preparing you right now. Don't think is that I'm going to start life once I graduate high school or graduate college. Men, right now, God is using you for that next step of leadership. But nevertheless, this young man, God had brought in. So when he stepped on the scene, I can imagine somebody like my son Thomas, who's 11 years old. He's been out, steps on the scene. Now David, I'm sure from the description here, there's no doubt he was a nice looking boy. That the idea gives, the description gives of he had probably fair skin, maybe big bright eyes, and just a nice complexion about him, and he just had a nice appearance about him. But here's one of the points that I think is important to note. He was a nice looking boy, but he did not give the appearance of a nice looking king. His older brother had the appearance. The eldest, Eliab. But what David had that set him apart is what's going to set you apart from every other man out there in the world, brothers, and that's going to be your heart. Your heart after God. Your heart, allowing your heart to be after what God is after. And that's what we see here. So we see that he came and showed up. And now let's look at it again. It says here in verse 12, as he said, this is the one that you're going to anoint. This is he. God has appointed this. Now, look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil. There it is. And anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And I love this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Brothers, would you turn with me over to two chapters before, to chapter 13. It's 1 Samuel 13. As I had mentioned earlier, This is where Saul failed to have a heart after God. Verse 11, let's pick up there. This is where Samuel confronts him. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Boy, he's really pulling out all the stops on how to excuse himself from the sin that he has committed. And even using some piety there, just some self-righteousness. "Well, I did it because I needed to worship the Lord. I needed to disobey the Lord to worship the Lord." And then he also pointed his finger at others, just blaming even Samuel for being late. "Well, really, it's because you took so long, Samuel." You see, one of the things that I believe as a leader, and God help me on this, brothers, and God help you, the true leaders that God used do not make excuses when we have failed. We just own it. If we've made a mistake, we own it. We turn to the Lord and confess it. Let Him cleanse and restore us, and we keep going on. Amen? But he didn't want to do that. He was going to make every excuse why he disobeyed the Lord. But notice as we continue here. And then verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which He commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Not anymore. Verse 14, this is where we'll land the plane here. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." As we think upon being chosen of God and anointed for the task at hand, the divine assignment that each of you have and that I have, know that it is going to be the power of the Spirit of God that's going to lead us to do it. God's hand is upon you and upon me as we go forward. And it's not going to be because we're so intelligent or so wise in the sense of just gifted in some particular area. It's not going to be because of your looks. It's not going to be because any status in your life other than this. God is saying, my hand is going to be upon those that have a heart after me. And that's what he chose David. So I want you to think about it. You may say, well, Pastor, you don't know my weaknesses. Listen, don't let your weaknesses define you. Let your heart define you. What is your heart towards the Lord? And Brother John preached all last week talking about our new identity in Christ, our new nature. We're not identified as sinners anymore. We're defined as saints who happen to still sin. Okay? We do sin, but we are blood-bought children of God who have the Holy Spirit living in us, a new nature. The DNA of God is in us, and God has anointed us for some divine assignments. So I just want to thank you, men, for being faithful in your divine assignment. I thank you for being that person in your home, being that person in your workplace. I thank you for being that person here. I believe the Lord is doing a great work in our midst and calling leaders. And so my prayer is that as we work through the leadership lessons in the life of David, I pray that each of us will just be greatly strengthened as Spirit-filled, heart-filled with God type of leaders. And seeking after the Lord, because He's got some tasks for you. And we're going to learn in our next lesson, it is not going to take long for David to be tested. I got a minute or two here. Men, we are leaders, and leaders will be tested. And I believe God had David out there in the pasture for a reason. He was dealing with some hard things, a lot of dangers out there, we know, even through his own testimony, that we'll hear about and see about. Because think upon just for a minute, take a quick just vision cast to David's life, and just it's hard to imagine the hardships that man experienced. I mean, from failure to defeat, but he saw a lot of victory. He saw a lot of great breakthroughs that God brought, just wrought miracles even after he had failed. And especially after he had failed, the mercy that God showed unto him. And over and over and over again, we just saw the anointing upon David's life. So take heart this morning, men, that if you've been saved, God has a divine assignment for you, and his hand is upon you. But let's realize that he is looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. Let's not try to impress God with our outward appearances. Let's seek God with the heart. Would you say amen? Amen. Let's